I appreciated the Sunday school, sir. I thought you said something that hit a pretty good note with me. You talked about people and the sin creeping up into their life. And then suddenly you see them do something awful and horrendous and you wonder, how did that sin creep up into their life? They always seemed like such a calm and gentle person, and then the sin was there, and that really is it. Sin creeps, and sin's very deceptive. It'll deceive you, and it'll get you. And I thought of that, and I thought that was a very good thought. I appreciated that. Would you go ahead and pray for the service, sir?
Our Heavenly Father, we just thank you again for this opportunity we have to gather again. I thank you for each soul that is here today. We just pray that their ears will be open and their hearts would be receptive to your word that you've laid upon Brother Timothy's heart to share with us today. Father, we just ask that you help them to give the understanding to it, that we would grasp and lay hold of it, and that we would penetrate to our innermost being. And just, Father, just that your hand be upon this service and guide and direct. We pray this in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
Amen. We're going to consider something today. We're going to consider obedience. We're going to consider obedience and how that happens. We're going to consider it in your life. I was looking into this the last couple days, and I saw that obedience goes a lot with the voice. Obey my voice. Over and over, you hear a voice, and you have to consider what, in your own self, you consider what that voice is saying. But you have to hear a voice. Obedience often isn't what happens on the... Sometimes people think, well, I'm doing what I think I should do, but when did you obey a voice? Because God has a voice. God wants you to hear his voice. He goes out of his way for you to hear his voice. He sends people that will cry aloud, people that will warn, but you must hear his voice. I'll say this too. What I'm going to preach today is going to be scriptural. It's going to be scriptural. It's going to be out of the Bible. I had a brother that said to me recently, he actually spoke to quite a few of us about it. He was just talking about people having sayings where they'll have a saying and they'll take that saying, and it's a very wise saying with some wisdom and some understanding with it, but they take that saying and they make a religion out of it. And I don't mean some massive structure. I mean, they make it the way that they live their life. That's their way, a saying or something. But this is not a saying. This is the scripture. This is the word of God. So we're gonna hear the voice of God today out of the scripture. God hath chosen the foolishness of preaching to save them which believe. God chose it. It's his avenue for people to hear truth. That's what God chose. God chose preaching. I love reading my Bible. I love to learn from when I read my Bible. Sometimes I can read and I'll get, sometimes even when I pray, I'll have verses come to my mind and they'll exhort me. I'll be in a rough way and I'll just keep praying and I'll pray and I'll pray. And so verses will come to me and they'll give me some strength. But the Bible says that God chose the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. That's God's choice. It's not my choice. It's not your choice. It's God's choice. So let's hear the preaching today. Let's consider this. If you would, turn in your Bibles to Jeremiah 35. It's an interesting story. It's an interesting happening that God told Jeremiah to do. God told Jeremiah to do this. We're gonna read through much of this chapter. We'll start with verse 1 and 2. The word which came unto Jeremiah from the Lord in the days of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, saying, go into the house of the Rechabites and speak unto them and bring them into the house of the Lord into one of the chambers and give them wine to drink. Nothing wrong with that. He told him to do it. God told him to do that. Let's turn to verse 5. Why did God do this? And I set before the sons, this is Jeremiah speaking, and I set before the sons in the house of the Rechabites, pots full of wine and cups. And I said unto them, drink ye wine. But they said, we will drink no wine. For Jonadab, the son of Rechab, our father, commanded us, saying, ye shall drink no wine, neither ye nor your sons forever. Neither shall ye build house, nor sow seed, nor plant vineyard, nor have any. But all your days ye shall dwell in the tents. that you may live many days in the land where ye be strangers. Thus have we obeyed the voice of Jonadab, the son of Rechab, our father, in all that he had charged us to do, to drink no wine all our days, we, our wives, our sons, nor our daughters, nor to build houses for us to dwell in. Neither have we vineyard, nor field, nor seed, but we have dwelt in tents and have obeyed and done according to all that Jonadab our father commanded us. So God gets Jeremiah to tell these men to do something that the regular men of that age would have done. They would have obeyed the prophet, but these men said, we will not, because their father had given them something, had given them a commandment. And so God does this, tells Jeremiah to put this wine in front of them, drink it. And they said, no, we will not. And so we see, we're going to look at, why did God get Jeremiah to do that for men just to tell him no? Let's go to verse 12. Then came the word of the Lord unto Jeremiah, saying, thus saith the Lord God of the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, go and tell the men of Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem, will ye not receive instruction to hearken to my words, saith the Lord? The words of Jonadab, the son of Rechab, that he commanded his sons not to drink wine, are performed. For unto this day they drink none, but obey their father's commandment. Notwithstanding, I have spoken unto you, rising early and speaking, but ye hearken not unto me. This man had commanded his children something. It wasn't even in the law to command your children that. And he commanded it, and his sons obeyed it. They obeyed it, and it wasn't even in the commandment. And God wants to show Jeremiah that these men and their families and all that they had obeyed the commandment that their father had given them. Through their whole lives, they obeyed it. But Israel, God getting up early, rising, speaking to them over and over and over again, God gives that word to Israel, and they have not heeded it. And he wants to show Israel that. He wants Israel to have that understanding that there's a family where the father had commanded the sons to do something and they obeyed it. And God, being the father of Israel, rising up early over and over, has reached out to them and they denied it. So what's the difference there? What's the difference? Let's continue on. Verse 15. I have sent also unto you all my servants, the prophets, rising up early and sending them, saying, return ye now every man from his evil way, and amend your doings, and go not after other gods to serve them, and ye shall dwell in the land which I have given to you and to your fathers, but ye have not inclined your ear nor hearkened unto me. Obedience happens out of voice. You have to hearken your ear. You must listen. You must listen. We're going to look at soon why you should listen. Why you should listen. But first off, you must have an open ear. You must hear. Straightforward. You must hear. You could have people. Some people are much more fortunate. The Israelites were very fortunate to have prophet after prophet. Having prophet after prophet, even the Israelites would say of themselves, what have we done? Where have we not obeyed? Saul said to Samuel, where have I not obeyed your voice? And Samuel said, you did not kill that king that I commanded you to. He said, in fact, you did not. People can lie to themselves and say, I have obeyed. But you must consider the voice of the word of God. Have you really obeyed God? Do you obey God? Verse 16, because the sons of Jonadab, the son of Rechab, have performed the commandment of their father, which he commanded them, but this people have not hearkened unto me. Verse 17, therefore, thus saith the Lord God of hosts, the God of Israel, behold, I will bring upon Judah and upon all the inhabitants of Jerusalem all the evil that I have pronounced against them, because I have spoken unto them, but they have not heard. And I have called unto them, but they have not answered. They didn't answer. They didn't respond to God. God gave them a commandment with his voice. They heard the voice of the prophets. They heard. The Bible says, be ye not hearers only, but be ye doers of the word. You must be doers. And so what is God? God gives a commandment for Jeremiah, a blessing to the sons of Rechab, because they obeyed their father. It wasn't even in the commandment, but they obeyed the voice that they heard. God's going to give them a blessing. And he wants Israel to know that he's going to give this family a blessing for it. Verse 18, new paragraph. And Jeremiah said unto the house of the Rechabites, thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, because ye have obeyed the commandment of Jonadab your father, and have kept all his precepts, and have done according unto all that he hath commanded you, therefore thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, Jonadab the son of Rechab shall not want a man to stand before me forever. That means today there's a man from the son of Rechab who stands before God. That's what that means. God promised that. What did he promise to Israel? He said he'd do right by them if they would do right by him. Over and over, he says to Israel to do right. Let's turn to Exodus chapter 19. It's a very simple message today. Hope to get some understanding across. What does God say about his own voice? First off, I remember being a child and considering Jesus Christ and all the things that he would say to people. And I would think, honestly, he was kind of stuck up. How could a man walk about and say such high and mighty things about himself? He'd say some pretty high things about himself. He would say that I am that I am. He would say that if you don't listen to me, you'll die in your sins. That's what he'd say. Could you imagine saying that to somebody? If you don't hear my voice, you're going to die for it. That's what Jesus Christ had a very high opinion of himself. You know why? Because Jesus Christ is God. And we're going to see what God has to say about his own voice. Verse 5 of Exodus chapter 19. Now therefore, if ye will obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant, then ye shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine. God does not want evil upon Israel. God does the same relationship that God had with Israel, as in that he loved them, he wanted them to obey him, is the same way that he is with us. It's the same way he is with a young man, a young girl, an old man, and an old woman. It is the exact same way. God wants you to obey his voice. God wants good for you. God wants good for you. It says in the Bible that he's not thinking evil of you. He's not thinking evil towards you. God does not want you to have a bad life. God wants you to live a life of peace. The same thing that God did for David. We see David in the Bible as a man of strength and a man of ability and a man with, after God's own eye. The apple of his eye after God's own heart. Do you realize that God wants that for every person? God wants that. God wants people to have a good life. I mean, on this earth, God wants people to have a good life. God wants young men to have some strength in their life. That's what God wants. God wants a young man to be confident in that he's doing the right thing. That's what God wants. God wants even a young man to do that. That's what God, but often sin will get the best of us. We don't consider the voice of God. But how many times do we hear, if you do this, God will help you. God will help you. God says he even gives salvation. God will give eternal life to those that obey his voice. That's what God will do. That's what God will do for somebody. Let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 30. Verse 11, beginning of the paragraph, we're going to read through the end of the chapter. Consider, is it not the truth? None of these things are hidden away. None of these things are secret, or these things are very evident. For this commandment which I command thee this day, it is not hidden from thee, neither is it far off. It is not in heaven that thou shouldest say, who shall go up for us to heaven and bring it unto us, that we may hear it and do it? Neither is it beyond the sea that thou shouldest say, who shall go over the sea for us and bring it unto us, that we may hear it and do it? But the word is very nigh unto thee, in thy mouth and in thy heart, that thou mayest do it. God has made it so close to you. God has put it right in front of your face. God's put it right in front of your eyes that you can read it. You can hear it. You can hear the preacher. You can hear the voice. That's what people reject often, is a voice. People will reject a voice. They'll hear it. I said that earlier, that I'm going to be using the scriptures. But people will have maybe a saying. You could say, cleanliness is next to godliness. That's not wrong. By no means is that wrong. But there's no verse that says that. But you could in your own life make that to be above scripture. You could see a clean floor and say, wow, that person must be godly. Or you could see a dirty floor and say, that person must be ungodly. You could use that. And so then when the voice comes along, you could have that in any way. You could have any saying, any thought. See, that's what it is. You'll have a mind that is against God. God says, be of one mind. But you'll have a way of thinking, a way that you've crafted in your own mind that's clever, that's right in your own way. And you'll have that and you'll live your life by it. And then when you hear a voice that contradicts it, it's offensive. Was the voice wrong? Was God meaning to be offensive to Israel? No, but what did Israel do? They built up in their own mind. And that's that iniquity. It's a lawlessness. Iniquities separate between God and man. God says, have I separated from you? No. No, but you have these thoughts in your mind and you build them up and you have this strength of mind. I'm going to do this. I'm going to live my life this way. There's a way which seemeth right unto man, but the end thereof are the ways of death, the Bible says. So you have this way of thinking in your own mind, but God wants you to hear a voice. God wants you to respond to a voice. That's the way God chose. I didn't choose that way. I had to respond to a voice. If God's going to help you, if you've ever gotten help from God, it's because you responded to a voice. You responded to a voice. You didn't, out of your own goodness, figure it out. You did not reason out what God has to say to you. You obeyed a voice. You must obey a voice. Verse 11. Now let's go back to verse 15. I've read through that. Verse 15. See, I set before thee this day life and good, and death and evil. And that I command thee this day to love the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways, and to keep his commandments, and his statutes, and his judgments, that thou mayest live and multiply. And the Lord thy God shall bless thee in the land whither thou goest to possess it. But if thine heart turn away, so that thou wilt not hear, but shalt be drawn away, and worship other gods, and serve them, I denounce unto you this day that ye shall surely perish, and that ye shall not prolong your days upon the land whither thou passest over Jordan to possess it. I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live, that thou mayest love the Lord thy God, and that thou mayest obey his voice, that thou mayest cleave unto him, for he is thy life, and the length of thy days, that thou mayest dwell in the land which the Lord sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give them. God laid it out before Israel. See, that's something we don't consider. We don't consider that God wants good for us. God wants good. God wants the very best. God wants you to live a life in agreeance with him. And you know what that does? You have agreeance with God? It's not. People try to make a format for life. Here's my philosophy for life. They'll have a philosophy. If you do this and you kind of enjoy your days and don't be too serious about things and also be serious about certain things and kind of, they make this philosophy. But what is the truth? What's the secret to it all for every person, down from the child all the way to the very aged? Obey the voice of God. There is no philosophy to this. There's no philosophy to the word. He said, don't get mixed up in philosophy. Don't do that. Don't get mixed up. Obey God. What if God told you to fast? Probably good for you to fast. Probably the answer to that. If God told you to preach, probably good for you to preach. God told you to pray, it's probably good for you to pray. That's just what it is. If God told you to get sin out of your life, obey him. Obey him. Obey his voice. That's what God's told you to do, because God will do one thing to you. People look at their life and they try to, my life is in disarray because of this, and they'll have an excuse, or this happens and whatnot, but God promised what he'd do to people. God promised. God promised that this would be the outcome of a life that does not obey him, and this would be the outcome of a life that does obey him. It's so simple. It's so plain. God wanted his words to be so understandable. He didn't say this in some hidden way. His words are not hidden in heaven that we cannot hear it. It's not across the sea where you'd have to ask somebody, hey, can you go send some guy over there on a plane and get some research done and get back to me on this? No, from a child. From a child up. When you're a child, all the way up, there's that voice. There's a voice. There's always a voice. We can prove that. Let's go to Romans 8, verse 1. Romans chapter 1. Verse 18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them. For God has showed it unto them. Every person has a voice that they've heard. God has shown it unto them. The Bible says later on, Paul talks about that you have a conscience that bears witness. You have a conscience. There's a voice. There's always been a voice. It says that Jesus Christ is the light of every man that cometh into the world. He is that light. What do men do? What do young people do? They darken the light. That's the job of parents in some ways, is to protect them from the problems that eat at other people's lives. I think of, you know why it's good to raise your child with good character? Not because it'll get them saved. If anything, the Bible says favor is deceitful and beauty is vain. The Bible says favor is deceitful. You could have a child if everybody loves that child because they're so favorable, and really it's going to deceive the child. It could. But you know why you raise your child with good character and you train them in the way that they should go? So that maybe when they hear the voice, all the other afflictions that happen to people's lives won't drive them out. Just maybe your child won't have a problem with drugs. Just maybe that child won't have a problem with drugs, and that when they hear the voice of God, they think, man, but I have drugs. I can take away the pain of my life with drugs. You can take away the pain of your life by just forgetting the voice that God has shown you. Realize that God's voice does not agree with our flesh. You hear the voice of God, it does not please you. It doesn't please you. If you're right with God, you hear the voice and you'll say, thank God, man, that was good. But when you're not right, you'll hear the voice of God and you'll hide yourself. Adam and Eve, they heard the voice of God and they hid themselves in the garden. You hear the voice of God and you'll hide yourself. And you know the best thing that you can do for your children is you raise them where all those other problems don't happen in their life. Maybe, just maybe, if they're real hard workers, good workers, they would be at work and their bosses will like them and they won't be so insecure in their life that maybe they won't be distracted by this thing or that thing and whatnot, and they can focus on the voice. That's the hope. I know that a broken person can be broken before God, but I also know that we ought to raise our children right so that maybe they can hear they can respond to the voice, that the plague of this world won't be on them. That's something we ought to consider. Consider, though, that you must hear the voice. You must respond. This is not something that happens gradually. You don't gradually just, as he said, it's instantaneous. You don't gradually step into faith. Faith is not something that you gradually get a hold of and slowly you get this grip on God and you obey a voice. You must respond. But God will bless you for it. God will help you. God will help you to walk with confidence. God will help you to walk with some strength. You know what? That's what people want, though. Everybody wants to be right. Nobody wants to be unrighteous. As Winston Churchill would say, unrighteous. Everybody wants to be right. You want to be right. I want to be right. That's where pride comes in. I'm already right. They hear that voice, and they thought they were right all along. Then they hear a voice that contradicts what their opinions, their construction of their mind, the way they think. And that voice comes in. The Bible says it's sharper than any two-edged sword. And it comes in, it's able to the piercing and dividing of apart of soul and spirit and the bone and the marrow, the joints and the marrow. It'll divide that across. And the very next verse talks about it'll lay you naked before God. So you hear that voice that cuts in. Boom. Right in. It's cut you. It's spoken to you. You've heard the voice. It says, depart from iniquity. Depart from sin. Depart from sin. Don't be in sin. You know, my dad used to always say, the secret you is the real you. That's the real you. Who you are in secret, that's the real you. There's no public you. That's not. If you are that way in secret, that's who you are. That's who you are. If you have real bad problems in secret, that's who you are. You're a person of real bad problems. The Bible would call you wicked. So then you hear a voice, and you hear it in church. You hear the preacher, and the preacher gives you a voice. He puts a voice to the Word of God, and he puts it out there, and you hear that, and suddenly you have two choices. There's only two choices with it. You reject the voice. Some people say, I'm not rejecting the voice. I just have a hard time with something. No, God don't make it. There's no confusion with these things. Jesus Christ said, we do not mix mammon with unrighteousness. We don't mix those things. God and mammon do not mix. You either serve one master and hate the other, or you serve this master and hate that one. There's no mixing. There's no mixing in your life. If you have a private life that doesn't want to be exposed to the public, it's who you are. It's who you are. We read verse 18. We read verse 19. It's manifest unto them. Verse 20. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. There is no excuse for you. There's no excuse. You know what? That's why Christians ought to be kind. That's why Christians ought to be loving, because there is no excuse. And so you know what? You hear that voice. You either respond to the voice of the preaching. You respond. And you know what? Sometimes the preaching has a loud voice. But the Bible says that God has a still, small voice. And that's the one we reject the most because it's so quiet. I had a young man I was good friends with for some years. I'm still his friend. But you know what he had said when he was in a better place? He had said, you get the world turned up real loud and you cannot hear anymore. You cannot hear. You know what will turn up real loud in your life? Your own deception. The own way you think. That'll turn up so loud that when you hear truth, you'll just kind of go, I'm going to mold it to the way I already think. Truth will come in and it'll come back at you and you'll just mold it with philosophy. You'll mold it with the way that you think. You know what the Bible talks about that? That's a conceit. That is a conceit. That's a conceited person. They'll hear that truth and it'll cut right in and it'll try to help them. God wants good for you. God wants good for young people. God wants good for young people. Man, God wants good people, young people to have good lives and to have lives that aren't just wretched with sin. Man, God wants that for people. God wants it so bad for people. I could talk about the cross. We know that. We know that. But God says there's no excuse at the same time. And we like to make excuses for sin. We like to talk about, I'm the exception. I just have a hard time. Man, there's no excuse for sin. There is no excuse. You reject God. That's what it is. The Bible talks about despising God. It talks about in Galatians 5, the works of the flesh. Then it talks about the fruit of the Spirit. You know, there's no mixing of those. You either walk by, you either have the product of the flesh or you have the product of the Spirit. There is no mixing them. God doesn't see a person and say, well, they're walking half and half. Man, I'm liking that. God says there's no mixing. You cannot mix it. And you know what? You know why it's good to hear the voice when you hear a voice and you respond to it? Because just maybe you can get out of that. In Timothy, it talks about if they would hear the truth, if they'd hear the truth and God would grant them repentance, they could deliver themselves from the snare of the devil. They could do that. That is for every person. You could deliver yourself from the snare of the devil. Verse 21, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Who did that? God darkened their heart. Why? Because they were in their vain imaginations. They lifted themselves up. You lift yourself up. That can happen to anybody. It can happen to anybody. That can happen to anybody. Man, I've heard people talk about sometimes the quiet ones that don't really get into a lot of trouble and they're kind of bashful. They get themselves into the worst trouble. They get themselves into the worst trouble. I know that from personal experience. I've seen it. Where those bashful ones, those quiet ones, oh man, I'm not a problem maker and whatnot, but sin still crept in. Sin still crept in, and then you talk to them now and they're so hardened. And you wonder, and it says, exhort one another daily that you be not hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Sin will get in there. Sin will get you. Sin will get you. The man talked about this morning, sir, thank you again for that. You talked about, you must fight it. You must fight it. You must fight it. Dom, if you fought sin in your life, God would help you. I mean that. That's what the Bible says. God would help you. Sal, if you fought sin in your life, God would help you. God would help you to walk right. That's what God would do. God's desire is for you to walk right. Dino, if you fought sin in your life, God would help you. I mean that. God would help you. God wants your children to walk right. God wants your children to have good lives. God says he wants you to have an expected end. That's what God wants. God wants an expected end for people. God desires that for people. I'm going to stop by one more verse and we'll wrap it up here. Jeremiah 5. Verse 25. This was preached to me one time, and I was in a really bad way, and it got me really low. It got me very low after I heard this, because I had thrown out some very crucial things in my life. I decided I was going to do it my own way. I was going to follow after sin. And I embarrassed myself. The Bible talks about if you do these things, that you'll be that God will make you ashamed in front of the whole congregation. And I was ashamed. I remember being like this, and this was a verse that God had used. The preacher preached this. He just talked about how much God loved you. God loves you. God wants the best for you. God, in everything that is God, he gave up everything. It said, out of the ivory palaces, God gave up everything for you. And you know what? This is what he said. Verse 25, Jeremiah 5. Your iniquities have turned away these things, and your sins have withholden good things from you. That's what did it. That's what's withholding good things from you. You see good things and you want them in your life and they're not there. Man, who's to blame? Is there an excuse? Nope. Bible says there's no excuse, but we can obey the word. If you can hear the word and you can, and God uses that word and God pricks you on your heart, in your heart, there's hope to obey it. You can still yet obey the word. And you know what? Man, God will be good to you. God will be so good to you. God will help you. God will bless you. God wants that. God doesn't want to hurt people. God's not afraid to either. Well, you want me to close in prayer or you come up? Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word. God, I thank you for the truth. God, I thank you that you chose preaching. God, I thank you for the effect that preaching can have. God, that doctrine is what can help people. God, if they'd only hear. God, if they'd only obey. God, I ask that you'd help these people. God, I ask that you'd help this church. God, I think of the young people in this church. God, I ask that you'd help them. God, that you'd work in their lives. And my God, that they might stand right before you. God, that they might purpose in their hearts to stand right. And God, I think of the people of this church who have been faithful. God, would you help them? God, would you work in their lives? And God, help them to walk with you. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I do pray. Amen.